Gudetama?
Yeah, with Gudetama.
Sure.
Right there.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Treacherous. Yep.
Ready?
Yep. Spicy. Alright.
Hello and welcome to B-Film Brew Crew. My name is Oscar, and that's...
Yo, this is Clemente.
And here on B-Film Brew Crew, we review bad movies. And we like to drink beers from around the world. This week's movie is called Sorceress. This is a 1995 movie. And this week's beer was called...
La Fin de Monde.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't speak French.
Okay. Well, the like I said, this week's movie is Sorceress from 1995. We'll get to the beer in a second. Some quick info on this movie. The synopsis is jealous witch Erica uses her powers to influence her unwitting husband, Larry, and his colleagues who all work for a big law firm. Which is, I guess, the whole story, man. That was weird. The genre of this movie is fantasy, horror, and thriller, although I didn't see two of those in there.
A lot of fantasy.
Yes. the release was January of 1995. It was directed by Jim Wynorski. It has an MPAA rating of R. Its scores currently are 3.5 on IMDb. And an audience score of 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. The stars of this movie are Larry Poindexter, Julie Strain, and Linda Blair. The notable actors for me were Larry Poindexter, who was the captain in SWAT, and I liked the movie SWAT. And, of course, Julie Strain, who played Julie in Heavy Metal 2000, has been in over 100 movies, and is also known as the Queen of B-Movies. And, of course, also Linda Blair, whose most notable film is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Well, Reagan, I think? Regan? I don't know her name. But she plays the possessed girl.
Yeah.
And in other notes, Julie and Linda, Julie Strain and Linda Blair, are never seen in the same scene together in this entire movie.
Yeah, you can't keep the A-listers with the B-listers.
I mean, they did, but, you know.
But then again, like, was it the actress that played Erica? She didn't really have too many lines. She appeared, like, in the beginning of the movie.
Julie Strain?
Yeah, Julie Strain. She appeared in the beginning, I think, like, in a flashback or two, and at the very end, and it was, just, like, one line. She had very little lines.
She had very little screen time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's
in it.
She's in it, and she's apparently one of the stars. So, this Brew of the Week. We'll get back to that. Clemente, why don't you lead us through that?
All right, so today we had La Fin de Monde, which is a Belgian-style triple ale, and it's pretty strong. I mean, it's probably one of the stronger beers that we had. It was a 9%.
It's definitely the strongest one.
Yeah, 9% alcohol by volume. And it hails from Quebec, Canada, a brewery called Unibrow, I think. Unibrow.
I don't know how to pronounce it,
but it looks like Unibrow, and it's from Canada. It's a, you know, Belgian-style ale. And you know what? I wasn't a huge fan of it at first, but...
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because, I mean, we poured it. It was chill then. It wasn't... I don't know. I didn't like it at first, but then as we sat through the movie and we drank more and more, and it kind of grew on me.
Yeah, I have to say, this is the opposite of last week's beer, the sour, where I felt like that one, as it got warmer, it got worse, and it just didn't taste as good. But this one, I feel like just letting it sit for a little while and letting it reach essentially room temperature after an hour of sitting through this movie. I had to finish like half of it at the end because our rules never came up. But it tasted so much better.
Yeah.
It went down smoother. I feel when it was cold, it was more bitter and sour.
Yeah, it was
rough.
It was rough, and it tastes like a hef.
Yeah.
But usually, like, when you let a hef sit, it kind of gets gross.
Yeah.
But this one didn't.
Right, and it just tastes like a richer taste of a hef. Like,
yeah,
heavier, richer, I don't know
like
how to...
thicker?
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely thicker. It wasn't a light. It was crisp. The thing is, it was not light, but it was like crisp.
Yeah. It was refreshing.
Yeah. For it being kind of strong. It wasn't hoppy at all. And it was, I don't know, it was real nice. It was good.
It was probably one of the weirdest beers we've had, as in like because letting it warm. I'm not used to drinking warm beers. I know this is probably more of a European thing, is drinking like room temperature beers, I believe, especially ales.
Yeah.
So as an American, it was kind of strange that it tasted better at room temperature than cold.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was good though.
And no, it was, I personally really liked it.
Yeah,
like from
I
the
would
start.
Totally drink this again.
Yeah, which was completely different from what you had said initially.
Yeah.
Because you were like, I hate this.
It had an off smell. It had an off taste. Like, I didn't like anything about it. And I don't know. It's good. I like it.
Yeah. It ended up tasting really good at the end. And I have to say a special thank you to Eric, who donated this beer to us.
Thank you, sir.
So thank
it's
you
good.
Very much.
Delicious.
Yeah. Came highly rated and recommended. Okay. Now, our drinking rules. For this movie, Clemente, what was your rule, Clemente?
Since I figured we were gonna watch like Vixen, Scream Queen type movies, I figured there'd be a lot more screaming. But I went whenever there was a scream, we would take a shot. I'm not a shot, but a drink.
Yeah, a drink.
Yeah, that'd be a horrible shot.
Yeah, no. Well, not with this movie. Yeah. How many times did your rule come up?
Just 3 times.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of screaming for people like dying or almost being murdered.
There wasn't even that much yelling. I kind of almost wanted to consider yelling part of my rule, but a yell is not a scream.
Yes, it's different.
Yeah.
We ruled it differently, at least. I think we went with, if it's a word, it doesn't really count as a scream.
Yeah, a yell. And then a scream is just like not comprehensible.
Yeah, it's like a surprised thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and I went with whenever there's magic on screen, which is kind of...
I feel like it was a stretch.
Yeah, but there was no special effects in this movie, so there was no visible magic cast, but you could tell she was using a spell,
like
I guess.
Ritual.
Yeah, to possess someone. So that's what I counted. And
we had to. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had anything to like to drink to.
Yeah, and we definitely needed just something to drink to throughout this movie.
Yeah.
We didn't have any user or listener submitted rules, so if you would like to submit a rule for our next movie, which will probably, the next movie we'll be watching is called Witchcraft, and we'll talk more about it later on, but you can leave a comment for us or a drinking rule on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or even on our blog on thefilmbrewcrew.com. And now, let's get on to the review of the actual movie. Let's start with a quick summary of the movie. Which is, Jesus Christ, I don't even know. there's this lady that's a witch, and she, I guess, wants to kill off someone, like a rival of her husband's in the law firm. This is what I think happened. I'm not even sure this is the actual story, right? So she wants to kill off a rival lawyer in the law firm so that her husband will get the promotion instead of the rival. And I guess the wife of the rival is also a witch, and she senses that the husband is in danger, and she's like, stop the car, pull over. So she manages to save him from dying, but he's still crippled. So he quits the law firm, and the other guy ends up getting the promotion. And then for some reason, like the husband of the bad witch, the one that was trying to kill people, they have an argument and they're on the balcony, and then she falls off the balcony and she dies. And then it's just like people are being possessed and they're trying to kill the husband, the one that was supposed to get the promotion. And, or no, the one that did get the promotion is the one that they're trying to kill. So the husband of the bad witch, in quotes. And that's the movie. And it turns out that, actually, the other lady was possessing people to try and kill him.
Amelia,
because
Linda Blair.
Yeah, because she was mad that she did that happened to her husband, and she doesn't care that they weren't like involved. She's like, no, but they did it for him, so he has to die. And she was trying to make it seem like Erica, the wife, the other witch, was trying to like, she was a ghost and she was possessing people and stuff like that. And then Oh, God. And so, you know, she possesses a lady and she's like killing everyone and or trying to. I think only Julie Strain and her character, Eric. No, not Erica. What was her name?
Who?
Amelia?
Maria?
Amelia? No, the other one.
Carol?
No, the other one.
Caroline?
Was it Carol? Somebody I don't know. Somebody. See. Anyway, the point is, in the end, it turns out that it was just a dream or something like that.
We don't know what happened.
Nobody died. And the dude wakes up and he's all freaked out. He's like, oh my God, she's still alive. Because apparently he didn't like her and realized that she was a witch or something.
She possessed him to... So I don't know, man. It seems like... I was confused. Mostly through the whole entire movie. And it just sounds like you're trying to make your own plot for this movie because it's missing a plot. Or there is some plot somewhere in the movie, but you just kind of have to make sense of it for yourself.
I honestly think that's what they were going for.
I don't know, man. It was weird.
But the ending didn't make any sense to me. And
it was a cop-out. It was like, oh, this would happen if you do stuff to me.
Yeah, it's like, if you get rid of me, this is what's going to happen. And then he's like, all freaked out.
Cheesy, like.
Yeah. So, we talked about this a little bit before we started, but what did you think the tone was? Did you think there was a tone? Because I don't think there was.
No, I mean, I don't know, man. I honestly could tell you that I've never really seen a film like this where it was, it was, like you said, it was flat and there was no real suspense. Like, there was nothing real. I feel like the only time that there was suspense was when they started to kind of focus a little bit more on, like, Linda Blair's character.
Right.
And when, like, the music would change to kind of make it seem like, oh, my God, like, she's the one that's behind everything. And then, like, creating a little bit more suspense of, like, oh, man, what's she going to do now? Or, oh, what's going to happen?
And that was, like, three times.
That was maybe even less. I want to say maybe, like, twice. Because I feel like they didn't do any of that until, like, halfway through the movie.
No, for sure. Like, the later half, for sure.
Yeah, and then they kind of had, like, it was weird. There was no real conflict or anything. It felt like the main character, Larry, was kind of in a daze the whole entire time. Because, his ex, the blonde girl, I think it was Caroline, right?
Yes.
She was in and out, or she was there, like, and then Maria, she used to live with Larry and Erica, and it felt like they just kept coming in and out of the picture, and his friends were there, and he was just kind of in a daze, and I felt like the whole movie was, like, a daze, where, like, there was, it was all...
A dream,
which makes sense, but like there was no conflict really.
Yeah, it felt like characters just did things, but they didn't have any kind of reaction. Everything, even though it seemed like unusual, it just felt like they were okay with it. Like, even if it was unusual for that person to do it, they just went with it and nothing unusual happened. I think the most acting or reaction we got was when the blonde girl dyed her hair black.
Oh yeah.
And then she was trying to have sex with
Larry.
With Larry, and he's like, no, what the hell is wrong with you? I think that was the most dramatic scene, or when we actually got a reaction from people.
Everyone's reaction was kind of flat. Like,
right. It was just like reading the lines. This is happening. Okay, we're moving on. Yeah, okay, this is happening. Okay, we're moving on.
It was
on.
Just like people were reading their lines.
Yeah. They're
just reading their lines.
I guess we kind of skipped to acting, but yeah, you're right. I feel like their acting was flat, and the whole movie was flat, and there was no real conflict in the movie ever, except at the end with Linda. Like, the most intense scene was literally like the last 4 minutes, where the dude is crawling on the floor to kill Linda because she's actually the bad witch.
Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
Linda Blair.
Sorry. Did I say Hamilton?
You were going to say it.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway. So she was, you know, he was crawling. And then in the other scene, it was the Larry crawling on the floor trying to get away from blonde girl, Carol.
That was probably the most suspense.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Of the whole entire movie.
And that was the only suspense in the whole movie.
That's right.
And then it ended.
And it did end. And it ended in a weird way where you don't know if it was real or not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, tone of the film was very, I guess it's subjective, because you could say that it was suspenseful, but only at the very end. But like throughout the whole entire film, it just felt like it was dragging. It didn't feel like anything. It didn't feel suspenseful.
Yeah, this is.
There was a lot of fantasy, because I guess there were like a lot of parts where they were like dream state, and it was a lot of dream state scenes, because you could tell because of the fogginess, the lighting of the scene. They looked like they were like strobe lights, not strobe lights, but like fluorescent lights in the back.
Right. It was like whitewashed.
Yeah. So you could tell there were dream state scenes. So, I mean, yeah, fantasy.
When I think fantasy, I think more like magic and like medieval, or like science fiction, like Star Wars or like Conan, stuff like that. That's like fantasy to me. But this is like a dream fantasy, I guess.
Yeah, like dream state.
And every dream was essentially them just naked ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were like flashbacks, I guess, which was another like dream state, which is, yeah. And I was telling you throughout the movie, like when the guy came back to his house after his wife had died,
the only time he would reminisce would be like,
yeah, he's like remembering his dead wife. And then he's like, when the first scene is on the couch and he's, you know, and they're making love. And then he goes upstairs to the bed and it's like, oh yeah, he's remembering his wife. Oh, they're making love. I was like, oh wait, this is the one time they had a threesome. It's like, that's a great way to remember your wife. You're really mourning her.
But he was under their spell,
I guess. But, I mean,
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it was very, very weird. It was very gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
A lot of it. But yeah, I feel like everything just fell flat and everything just happened. And that definitely felt like filler. It probably would have been like 10 to 15 minutes shorter if they didn't have those scenes.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, yeah. You could be right.
Yeah. What about the cinematography?
I don't know, man. It was bad. I felt like, I don't know, like, it was just weird. Like, the shots, I mean, I don't know, man. It was just weird. It was just like, the way, like, the characters just moved from, like, one scene to another, it was just very weird. I just felt like they were on one track, and there was, like, I don't know, it just felt very, it was super linear.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little.
But do you think that's a camera problem? I think that's a story problem.
I think it is a story problem. I think it's like, I mean, obviously the way it was written.
Yeah, I think that's just the way, and maybe the directing, but I don't think that was like the camera person's fault. Like, I didn't feel like when they were in a dream state, I feel like I knew they were in a dream state, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And when we were in the real world, I knew we were in the real world.
Yeah.
Up until the end when he woke up and I was like, wait, was the whole thing a dream or what?
It just felt like, yeah, I mean, it just felt very linear. It felt like very one track. It felt like the character had. And you know what? I just realized, okay, remember that guy, what was his name? Stan or the gardener?
Yeah.
They didn't do anything with him.
Well, he was the first one possessed.
Oh, wait, they killed him. Never mind.
Yeah, he died. He got shot.
Never mind. I thought they just kind of like forgot about him.
No.
Never mind, he died.
He was the first. Oh, there was a shooting scene. That, now that you brought that up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after.
Okay, we'll talk about that after. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cinematography, you didn't think it was good. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was. The cameraman, I feel like, or the camera-wise, I feel like they did fine. And every scene, I felt like I knew if it was a dream or not. And, you know, I made the distinctions clearly. And I didn't feel like the cuts were bad or anything like that.
Yeah.
What about music?
I know you like the music. It was very synth. Like a lot of synthesizer music.
I do like synth, but
very electronic. You know what? It wasn't bad because, okay, they did play a lot of classical. They play a lot of classical music in the background. Like the guy, like, or the wife liked to play Debussy.
Yeah.
You know, classical music composer. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of that music in the background, which was nice because it's actual, you know, music being composed and played in the background.
Yeah.
And but it was cool. I mean, it was very like witchcraft music. Not like, you know, it was just dark, mellow, low tones. Yes. So it kind of fit the type of movie that it was because of witchcraft and stuff. So I mean, yeah, it was fine.
Felt mystical.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there you go. Mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was fine. Music was fine. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I liked it too. Yes, I do like synth. I usually like a little more exciting synth, but yeah, this was very mellow. Like you said, it was very low tones and just very relaxing. But yeah, you got that mystical feeling out of it.
Yeah.
I think it was good.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. Yeah. Good music.
As far as sound effects and props or special effects or anything like that, there was none. Yeah, like the best one was like they vanished or disappeared or whatever.
I mean, they did have practical effects, like when like the girl got slashed across the chest and
mm-hmm. Talk about the shooting.
Oh God. All right. So the first shooting where they killed the dudes, some dude is going into the law firm saying they killed his family. Well, when they show them kill his family, it's literally just like three flashes, like camera flashes. Yep. You see the person, you see nothing coming out of the gun. You see the person not getting hit by anything, and yeah, you just see three flashes, and that was it. It was really weak. It was super weak.
It was. It was like you were outside the room looking in.
It's like flash, flash, flash.
Yeah, and you could see the person getting shot clearly, and you could see that there was like, you know how at least you'll get some like blood splatter. You could see that she didn't get hit.
Nothing.
Because of the way that she was angled. I don't know if
she
that
had,
was
like
correct.
A clear dress too, like a nightgown that was
like
clear.
A white, yeah.
So you can clearly tell she didn't get hit with anything.
Yeah. But the second time.
Yeah, the second time when he got shot.
Yeah, when the gardener guy got shot.
Yeah, when he got shot, that was pretty bloody and
yeah, you could see the blood splatter.
Yeah, it was good. An actual gunshot victim right there.
Yeah.
Like the other one.
At least for a movie, yeah.
Yeah, for a movie.
And I agree that it was very different shootings between the two. And you're right, like when the girl got slashed, like she had a big old cut across her chest and you could see the blood and stuff like that. And yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Practical effects were pretty good. No special effects.
Nope.
They had some camera effects kinda.
Yeah.
I mean the only camera effects that they had were like when she would conduct a ritual and it would kind of like kind of blend it into the next scene to make it seem like, oh, she's the one in control.
A fade.
Yeah, a fade. So, I mean, yeah, practical effects make it seem like something is going on. Just mm-hmm. fine. Yeah. Just fine.
Okay. What about the acting?
I thought it was bad.
Yeah?
I thought it was like, when the actors read out their lines, I felt sometimes it just felt like they were there just to read their lines. Like, there was no emotion behind it. A lot of times, it just seemed like it was just going back and forth with very little space to react to the conversation. They were just reading their lines back and forth.
Yeah, reading their lines at each other.
Yeah, so there was no time to, like, process, think about, like, you know, emotion to whatever's going on in the scene. It just felt very rushed a lot of times. But obviously, not with everyone, but with certain characters, you could clearly tell that the lines were rushed.
Yeah, I agree. Some actors or some scenes did feel like they were literally just reading the lines at each other and just kind of going through the motions, but not necessarily acting out their lines or putting the emphasis or emotion that they should have had. I didn't think it was that bad for most of the actors. I think some of them did an okay job. I didn't think Larry was too bad. He did seem a little clueless, but I think that was just his character. I don't think it was him as an actor. So I think he was all right.
I mean, for the little lines that Erica had,
mm-hmm.
I think her lines are pretty bad. I feel like her readings are pretty bad. Even though she only had like four lines in the entire movie, they could have been a little bit more, but pretty close to like four or five.
I feel like she was on par with some of the rest of the cast. So like I mean, yeah, they weren't great, but they weren't, like, terrible. Definitely yeah. Seemed worse.
New Yorker? New Yorker guy.
I didn't like his accent.
It's a little too strong. They're in California, strong. Right?
Or, I don't know where they were.
I think they were in California because it looked so. Like very up in the hills by, like, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But he seemed, like, very New Yorker.
Yeah, I mean...
Stereotypical.
Yeah, some people tend to lose their accent after a little while. That dude looked like, I mean, sounded like he lived in New York. He was very out of place.
He's like very Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, he was
super heavy.
Extremely out of place.
Yeah.
Okay. And final thoughts. Would you recommend this movie?
No.
Anything like that?
I would not watch this movie again. I mean, it's a good film to watch after dark when the parents are asleep. But just keep the volume down. You're not going to miss anything. And it's a good, I mean, it's almost an adult flick.
It definitely honestly felt like a soft core almost. There was too much gratuitous.
It's a lot of booty licking.
Yeah, that did happen quite a bit. Actually, for like 3 or 4 times, which
yeah,
is weird.
Like I got his butt licked. Anyways, yeah. No, I would not watch this movie. This was a stupid movie. There was no point to this movie. It was like a little bit's going on, naked scene. A little bit's going on, naked scene. A little bit's going on, naked scene.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
I feel like if they had cut back on the nudity and maybe like increased the tension between the characters, it would have been a little bit better.
Gave it a little bit more backstory or a little bit more story.
Yeah, but if like they made it more obvious that she was using witchcraft or that people were possessed or, you know, even more people died, turned into more of a like a slasher type film or slasher slash mystery where, you know, you're not sure who exactly, because at first it was like, is Erica killing people? Is she actually a ghost possessing? Is she actually haunting her ex-husband or whatever? And I feel like if they had kept going with that, it would have been a little better, but I feel like it fell flat and then he moved on too quick and they revealed the true villain too quick. And it wasn't like really that much of a surprise. It was just like, oh, okay.
But they had to say it though. It's not like you had to like figure it out yourself, because I was pretty lost throughout the film until they said it themselves. Like, oh, you're doing this. Oh, I did this.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, I feel like they, like I said, if they had built it up a little more, like maybe made her seem like the good guy, and then in the end you're like, oh my gosh, she was actually the bad guy in the whole, you know, in the end, it would have been a little better. I'm not saying it would have been a whole lot better. I'm just saying it would have been better. But it just seemed to like, okay, yeah, now we're going to tell the bad guys. And there you go. Okay, bye. And that was it. It's like, and then she just played the villain the whole time. And I was like, oh, all right. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. It felt like they just dropped it on us and moved on. There was no climax to that or no big reveal or anything like that.
Yeah, it was kind of lame.
Okay. I still would not recommend this movie too much.
Nah.
It was, like you said, it was pointless. I gained nothing from that. I feel like it was a good story in any way. Like, anything. No.
There was a story in there?
Yeah, sort of. If you want to call it that. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Next week's movie. I decided we're going to watch a movie called Witchcraft from 1988. It's Witchcraft from 1988. And here's the synopsis. A new mother and her child move into her mother-in-law's dark old mansion. She soon begins to suspect that neither the house nor her mother-in-law are quite what they seem to be. And now we need to come up with a drinking rule.
Are there other people in the movie, or is it just the mother and daughter?
I don't know. It didn't say. That was the synopsis.
All right. You want to go first?
Let's see. Dark mansion. Neither the house nor... Okay, because it says nor the house are what it seems to be. I want to say whenever the house does something creepy or whatever, that makes it seem like it's not just the house.
Okay. So when the house seems like unnatural. It's doing stuff, unnatural.
Yeah.
A la Evil Dead.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Every time they say witch.
Oof. I feel like you're taking a gamble with that one.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to say witch a lot or if there's just two people and they never say witch or anything.
Yeah, the movie's called Witchcraft, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay.
Witch.
Yeah, okay.
Witch is the best witch. Sandwich.
That terrible joke brought to you by Clemente. Thank you for that.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, and if you would like to give us a drinking rule based on that synopsis, or just because you know the movie or whatever, you can do so, again, on Facebook, on Instagram, or Twitter, bfilmbrewcrew.com. Or not .com, but the Film Brew Crew on any of those. Sorry. And then that's it. Thank you for listening. You can find us probably, or you're probably already listening to us on one of these, but SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, podcast.com, any of those, you can find us and listen to us there, Be Film Brew Crew. And we do have a website, bfilmbrewcrew.com. Want to check us out there. And that's all we got. Thank you for listening. I've been Oscar, and that was
Clemente.
Bye.
See you.